Hello, my name is Daniel Nenni, founder of SemiWiki, the open forum for semiconductor professionals. Welcome to the Semiconductor Insiders podcast series. If you have a topic you'd like us to cover, please post it on semiwiki.com and we'll get right to it. My guest today is Dr. Tahir Ghani, Senior Fellow and Director of Semiconductor Research at Intel. His teams have introduced many industry firsts, including strained silicon, high-k metal gate, and FinFET transistors. Tahir also led the pathfinding research and development of the Intel RibbonFET gate-all-around transistor technology. Welcome to the podcast, Tahir.
Thank you.
So I'd first like to ask you how you got started in the semiconductor industry. Do you have an interesting story that you can share with us?
Well, I think unlike many people who have been, who are interested in semiconductor, in tinkering with toys and things like that from very young age, I was different. My primary interest, starting around age of 15 or 16, were in physics. I grew up in Pakistan, and there were not many opportunities at that time for people who would pursue pure physics. So I was looking at different options for career, and I thought that electrical engineering would be a good option with a mixture of contemporary physics and also mathematics. So I did my undergraduate in Pakistan, and when I came to Stanford, my intention was really to specialize in communication systems. Now, during the first semester, I had never done devices as an undergraduate. So during the first semester, I decided to learn devices, taking a mezzanine level course taught by Jim Plummer, who later became the Dean of Engineering at Stanford. And ever since taking that class, I just got hooked on to semiconductors.
Oh, that's a good story. Thank you. So you're known as Mr. Transistor because of your commitment to extend Moore's Law. What is your current role at Intel, and what is your team working on?
During the last 20 years, I've been part of pathfinding. I lead the pathfinding team responsible for bringing innovations from component research, or what we call technology research organization within Intel, screen those out for their viability, and then show enough feasibility for those innovations for some of them to make from research into regular development. That has been my primary focus for the last two decades or so, starting with strained silicon and then implementing high-k metal gate, and then after that implementing FinFETs, all within a period of 10 years or so, and lately working in pathfinding and developing next generation RibbonFET nanowire technologies. And so I work typically with a small team of integration and device engineers, but there are a lot of other people who also support from different modules, developing new modules during pathfinding and bringing new transistor innovations to fruition.
Interesting. In the past 30 years that you've worked at Intel, you filed more than 1,000 patents and led teams responsible for some of the most revolutionary changes in transistors. Can you highlight some of these innovations for us?
Well, let's see. It's been a long time, 30 years now. So I think a few of these innovations come to mind. The first one was the innovation of uniaxial strained silicon concept and how to best implement strain in CMOS transistors. That is the one clear one that comes to mind, one of the first key ones, and that was around early 2000s, 2002 to 2003 timeframe. At that time, there was no concept of strain in CMOS in manufacturing, and a lot of people thought that the way to put in strain in CMOS transistors would be to implement biaxial strain using virtual substrates, where you grow silicon germanium on silicon substrates, and then grow silicon, strained silicon, to make these transistors. We found a different, more manufacturable and more effective option, which is known as uniaxial stress or uniaxial strain, in early 2000s. So that was one key innovation. That was one of the patents. The other one I would say would be looking at different process architectures, patents around that, in implementing high-k metal gate technology. Then basically, there were a set of innovations that come to mind having to do with the critical technology elements which enabled dramatic scaling. For example, implementation of what is called single diffusion break, or SDB, where we basically have how to isolate adjacent transistors using this technology. I believe that was around 2010, 2011. And then there was what is called COAG today, contact on active gate, where basically you would place the contact to the transistor's gate directly on the active regions. Before that, you would lose, you know, people used to ensure that the contact never touches the active transistors. And so you would lose a lot of space and design rules, and which was a key limiter to scaling. So, you know, these kinds of innovations which enabled a significant scaling of the transistors, as well as the foundational innovations in transistors, I think those are the ones that that come to my mind at this time. These are really the foundational innovations which are now basically today the very foundation of current semiconductor manufacturing technology worldwide.
Interesting. Thank you. So can you tell us a little bit about the paper you're presenting at IEDM 2024, and why are you calling on the industry to help revolutionize the transistor?
I think this upcoming paper at IEDM is really a part of a special session this year to celebrate the 70th anniversary of IEDM. The first IDM was held in Washington back in 1954. That was a time before transistors became household objects. So it was the heydays of electronic tubes. So it's been an interesting 70 years, to say the least. So to celebrate the 70 years, IDM decided to set up a special a session this year. And I was asked in this session to present a talk with a focus on the evolution of transistors through these seven decades, and also share my views on the transistor direction and focus during the next, say, 5 to 10 years. It's really hard to see beyond that time frame. So, as you know, I think there is a reasonable consensus among various semiconductor players on key transistor innovations which are needed to continue scaling of transistor density in line with Moore's projection. Today we have FinFETs. It's an end of an era for FinFETs, I think, moving forward. It has reached its limit. And now the entire industry, as we move forward, is moving to ribbon FET transistor, where we use these nano ribbons, nano wires, nano sheets, as they are called by some, to enable to continue transistor performance and transistor scaling. And there is also, the backside power that Intel has pioneered, where the power delivery network now comes to the backside so that the front side is not interfered, the signals and the clock with power delivery. And that is basically also about to be put into production. I think if you look at these innovations, they are primarily focused on how to improve the transistor density, which is both the transistor active dimensions as well as the spacing between the transistors. And in future, we expect the industry will move to complementary stacked CMOS transistor, where N or P will be stacked on top of each other to save the space. So all these innovations will continue to increase the logic density and also result in continued improvement in the power performance in sync with the scaling. But I believe that this will not be enough moving forward. For example, if you look at the unprecedented demand for energy and the consequent rapid increase in power dissipation for artificial intelligence, machine learning type workloads, You can see that the semiconductor technology community clearly needs to focus on developing a next switch, which can dramatically reduce the switching energy while maintaining acceptable performance, acceptable latency. Otherwise, if you look at all the graphs of how quickly the power is increasing, which is impacting the energy demand on global scale, I think we need an innovation like that and reduce the compute energy significantly from where the standards be above and beyond what we expect from, you know, standard scaling, standard dimensional scaling. So what I'm looking for, a switch that will quickly enable the industry to achieve, you know, 5 to 10 times improvement in switching energy per transition. That is the type of switch I'm looking at. And that is the best that CMOS technology can do to really enable continued improvement in AI type workloads while meeting the sphere energy constraint.
Right. You know, you mentioned the 70th anniversary of IEDM, which is impressive, but next year, Moore's Law will celebrate the 60th anniversary. And, you know, in your paper, you outline multiple waves of innovations that drove transistor scaling over the last six decades. What are some of those key innovation waves? You know, what can you mention now that are important?
So I think, you know, looking back at the last 60 years, I think clearly the innovation of integrated circuit was the first wave. It was the innovation of integrated circuit that led to the birth of CPU or central processing unit, commonly at that time called computer on a chip. Without integrated circuit, that could not have been achieved. And if you look at the era from 1960s to 1980s, we went through, the industry went through rapid waves of transistor innovations, but each of these innovations were primarily driven by power limitations. For example, you know, initially the integrated circuit industry, we had the bipolar transistor, and then when Intel started, Intel was started because it wanted to focus on MOS transistors. So for the next, in 1970s, we had first a PMOS, then an NMOS technology, which eventually led to the movement to CMOS in early 80s. And all of these changes were really driven by the need, because the power dissipation was becoming a huge factor, and it was really power that was driving basically these innovations. Then if you look at 1990s to early 2000s, you know, this is basically the PC-driven era, in which there were rapid increase in the frequency of CPUs. Just to give you an example, during the 10-year period, say in 1990s, if you look at Intel CPUs, you know, the CPU frequency went up by almost 30x in those 10 years. That is huge. Now, if you look at Dennard scaling or ideal scaling, in which Dennard assumed constant electric field, the frequency was expected to go up by about 1.4 times every generation, which is every 2 years, which is about 6x every 10 years. So 6x for Dennard scaling versus 30x what industry did. And so that was basically the era where basically it is also called golden era, because the performance basically, you know, it was performance on steroids in those era. But that also led to expediting reaching the power wall, which happened around 2000 and early 2000s, where basically using any economically feasible air-cooled systems, the power really was limited to 100 to 150 watts. So that was an end of an era, which was really driven by frequency increase, and the power in CMOS was small enough until power became a big issue. And that basically led to the next era, which was basically power constrained era. And the difference relative to the previous era was that in this era, which is continuing even today, in the last 20 years, that is really driven by the power as the primary limiter. So the designers, when they design any product, start with power as the first constraint. And then their objective is to maximize the performance given the power constraint. So there's a huge change in mindset as we move from the frequency era to the power limited era, starting around 2005. And if you look at that era, I think that era really initiated the age of multi-cores, many cores, because these multi-core, many cores enabled better energy efficiency given the power constraint. That was really the drive towards going to multi-core era. If you had a given constraint in power, then you could improve your throughput and get better performance through throughput improvement within a given power budget. Now, the last era is also marked by the rapid rise of mobility, you know, through cell phones, laptops, and all of that. And that basically, you know, since about 2008, 2010, that era is marked by an era of SoC, or where you wanted to put whole systems in a chip for the purpose of accommodating it within the cell phone fingerprint. And that era, basically, in the mobility era, the power has been even more constrained, where you basically need now maximum of single-digit thermal dissipation. And that has led, in that era, various innovations. You know, I just described you the multi-core innovation. But also, basically, you know, there is a lot of innovation in terms of power gating, you know, a lot of adaptive things like frequency changing, which basically also has meant overall that given the power constraint, we just couldn't use all of the transistors that are available, which has led to an era of what is commonly called dark silicon. So as we now evolve into the next era, now I think it's going to be an era which is focused on and driven by the workloads which are very much data centric and AI compute. And I think this era will have even a bigger demand for energy, and even more important to basically find innovative solutions at all level of the hierarchy, from software down to microarchitecture, to circuits, and to the very foundation of you know, the technology, the transistors, and the interconnects and the packaging. All of these have to play their role in being able to control the energy while meeting the latency requirements. I think that's going to be the era moving forward, and that's going to be a huge challenge.
But Tahir, looking ahead, your paper addresses how the industry can expect to witness a remarkable milestone by the end of the decade, you know, the 1 trillion transistors within a tiny microprocessor package. What is Intel Foundry's technology research team doing to make this possible?
You know, Intel Foundry has been focusing on a lot of critical projects over the last decade and continues to focus on them, which will enable, I believe, a trillion transistors inside the package before the end of this decade, you know, by around 2030. You know, one critical component to achieve a trillion transistors is really advanced packaging. And there, I think, a critical element to be able to enable different chiplets to talk to each other at extremely high bandwidth, at low power, and good latency is really going to be enabled by hybrid bonding, where we will dramatically improve the interconnect capability, where the chiplets will talk to each other and it would seem as if it is all virtually one chip or monolithic. That's one area there where Intel has been focusing a lot. And, you know, in terms of our next generation packaging elements, which is 3D stacking and along with advanced versions of Averroes. The second, I think, that Intel has been focusing on a lot is the next generation 3D transistors, which are basically 3D transistors where N and P, the two types of transistors, will be stacked on top of each other, commonly also called CFET or complementary FET, where basically where we are focusing on now using the third dimension truly to enable basically continued scaling in line with Moore's law. So the next component that Intel Technology Research Organization is focusing on is also memory. You know, we're looking at dense memories with a reasonable latency. And as you know, that SRAM scaling has slowed down. So that is also a critical element that Intel technology research teams have been looking at. And lastly, and importantly, is moving the power delivery network to the backside and starting to use backside as a key enabler integration for future systems. I think there are projects going on all of these aspects to really enable dense compute systems which meet basically the power requirement and latency requirements in these trillion transistor chiplet inside a package.
Final question, Tahir. Your career and dedication to advancing Moore's Law is amazing. Do you have any final comments on the importance of Moore's Law and Intel's disclosures at IEDM and what they may mean for future innovation?
Certainly. So, you know, I look at Moore's Law today, you know, driving technology. It has driven technology for the last 60 years or so. And I don't foresee any slowing down in Moore's Law during the next decade. You know, and I look at it as very simple, doubling the transistors every 2 years or so. That's how I look at Moore's Law. And I believe that it is going to continue into the next decade. You know, some of the examples that I indicated, you know, in terms of new process architectures in transistors and interconnects and packaging will be the foundation on which Moore's Law will continue to be extended in foreseeable future. As I indicated, Moore's Law will extend now, is extending more and more into the third dimension, encompassing now the advanced packaging capabilities, where, you know, a combination of basically these third dimension and advanced packaging capabilities will enable eventually enable multi-trillion transistors inside a package, all working together as a system, a very dense system, and working as if it was one monolithic die. You know, that's the future, I think. And if you look at what Intel is planning basically to show at IDM in this regard, moving forward, is, for example, our paper on extending the ribbon FET technology to its limits, where basically we will show devices with the transistor gate length down to 6 nanometers with very, very good performance. So that's a significant milestone, you know, to be able to show that the upcoming ribbon FET transistor technology will not be a one-trick pony. It will continue to evolve, similar to how FinFETs evolved over a decade. Ribbon FETs will also continue to evolve over the next many years. And you know, showing 6 nanometer gate length transistor highlights the ultimate capabilities of ribbon FET transistors as we proceed into you know, trillion transistor era moving forward. So that's basically, you know, one aspect. The second one is looking at really scaled transistors, again, to enable the multi-trillion transistor era of what happens, say, even beyond complementary FET or stacked FET. And that is basically looking at new transistor channel materials, which are called TMD, or these are two-dimensional materials, thin sheet of two-dimensional materials, which will eventually have to be implemented as ribbon FET, but instead of silicon, use these two-dimensional materials to really enable scaling to the next level, because these two-dimensional layers are extremely thin. You know, they are one or two atomic layers, and that means that because they are so thin, they have excellent short channel effects. So they will basically, they should be able to, in principle, extend gate length even beyond what is expected from a silicon ribbon FET that I talked about.
So basically, that points the way from early to mid 2030s.
So lastly, basically, as you know, interconnect is another key bottleneck. And Intel will show options, research conducted within our technology research organization of using ruthenium for a subtractive process. And using that process, we will show a significant line capacity improvement, which is again basically pointing to options that will reduce power. So there are these key papers that highlight, you know, the tremendous work that has been going on at Intel in terms of ensuring that we continue along the predictions of Moore moving forward.
Great. Thank you, Tahir, for your time, and it'll be a pleasure to see you present at IEDM.
Oh, it'll be my pleasure. Thank you so much for giving me the opportunity to talk to you.
That concludes our podcast. Thank you all for listening, and have a great day.